Welcome to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. How much influence does the world have over you? You may say none at all, but is that true? Do you desire the things of the world, its riches and comforts, its entertainment, more so than spending time in fellowship with Him in His Word? Are you making important decisions without searching the Scriptures or praying? You may want to rethink that question after you hear this message. Let's listen and learn.
How do you know when you are mature, as was David and Peter, but you have fallen out of fellowship with God? Or you are saved, you know Christ is Savior, yet you are simply just being immature, carnal in your thinking, unable to receive the deeper things of God. The answer lay in Numbers 11, 4 through 5, where the rabble or the mixed multitude were greedy, and they therefore influenced the people, or the people God had delivered from Egypt, to be greedy. And it consists of two things, and they are as follows. Number one, when the influence of the world is greater than the influence of the presence of God in your life. Let me say it again. When the influence of the world has a greater influence upon your life than the presence of God in your life, you are either a mature believer who is not in fellowship with God, or you are a spiritually immature child of God, a babe in Christ, even though you may have been saved for years, and you are headed for the chastening hand of God. And I say this because in these verses, this rabble or mixed multitude from Egypt who did not know God had a greater influence upon the people of God than did God, who was visibly present among them. What we all need to understand is when the rabble or the mixed multitude influenced the people of Israel, the Hebrews, the people chosen by God, when the world or this rabble or this mixed multitude influenced them to long for free fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and the garlic of Egypt, you need to understand that the presence of God was visibly among them. Go back to Exodus 13 and 21. Exodus 13, 21. Notice Exodus 13, 21 says this. Said the Lord was going before them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them on the way. Are you there with me? And in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, that they might travel by day and by night. Verse 22, read what that says. Read it.
Do not take away the pillar of cloud by day, nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people, that they might.
The whole time Israel was in the wilderness, God never took away His visible presence among them as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. In view of this, the presence of God was clearly among these people as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And while this visible presence of God is among these people, they were more influenced by the rabble and the mixed multitude than they were by the presence of God. These Israelites were more influenced by the rabble from Egypt than they were the presence of God in their lives. Needless to say, the people of Israel were not in tune with God. They were way out of fellowship with God. Amen. Same is true for all of us, because this is a perfect picture or illustration of Christians and the influence of the world in their thinking and thus in the choices they make. And I say this because in the Word of God, Egypt is a type of the world, a godless world that is steeped in all kinds of idolatry. God delivering the people he had chosen to himself, the nation of Israel, from godless Egypt. It is the perfect picture of God delivering the Christian from the world of sin. I don't want to get too deep in this, but God calls and chooses Israel. And so he delivers them out of the world. God has called us to be saved. And he saved us out of the world. So perfect picture here. Colossians 1, 12 through 13 says it like this. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Not only has God delivered us from the domain of darkness, he has also given us the Holy Spirit on the inside who leads and guides us into all truth. He has given us an infallible word of God, and hopefully you consistently read it and you attend the church where you hear it preached faithfully Sunday after Sunday. He has also given us brothers and sisters in Christ who can encourage one another in the things of God. And the rabble in these verses, it is an illustration of unsaved folks influencing God's people to do wrong in spite of the presence of God in their lives. Amen. Can you imagine it? These people are complaining about fish and cucumbers and onions and garlic, what we used to have when we was in slavery. And here you are standing right in the very presence of God. Amen. The one who revealed himself as I am that I am. I be who I be. I am the self-existent one. I'm dependent on no one and anything else. I'm the self-existent one. I am that I am. I have no beginning. I have no end. I do what I want to do, and no one can do anything about it. They are standing in the visible presence of this God, and they let the world of Egypt influence them to remember the things that they had when they were a slave in a strange land. When the world of unredeemed man has more influence over your thinking, Abraham, than the things which are indicative of the presence of God in your life. The Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. The Word of God. The people of God who have a desire to do right. See, when the world has more of an influence over your thinking than the presence of God in your life. Or let me put it this way. When the world has more influence over your thinking than the pillar of cloud by day in your life and the pillar of fire by night in your life. When the world has more influence over your thinking, you are either a mature believer who is out of fellowship with God, or you are just simply spiritually immature. And as we shall see in a couple of weeks, from either of these conditions will eventually lead to the severe chastening of God in your life. Now let me really get in trouble. Amen. When the NAACP, the Urban League, and the Congressional Black Caucus, and black clergy who are either extremely carnal or they're not really saved, men like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton, when they have a greater influence upon black folks who say they know Jesus to think more like the world when it comes to certain subject matter, to think according to God's influence in their lives, according to the indwelling Holy Spirit and the Word of God, we are either mature or out of fellowship with God. We are mature, maybe, and you're out of fellowship with God, or you're just a babe in Christ, or I didn't want to go this morning, or you just may not really be saved, am I? One of the false conversion ones. Listen, when these groups have a greater influence over our lives than the presence of God in our lives, it is like Israel being more influenced by the rabble than the presence of God that was a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. I am specifically dealing with the fact that, listen, I'm specifically dealing with the fact that civil rights, as defined by a changing culture, which is unstable as the wind. Let me say this again. The civil rights of the day, which is being defined by a changing culture, a culture that is as unstable as the wind. You never know which way it's going to go. Is never the trump card over what God has clearly revealed in his word and confirms in our hearts by the abiding presence of the Spirit of God. A civil right that is contrary to what the word of God says is not a deuces wild over the word of God. Amen. It's not the ace of spades that trumps everything else that God has already said. You know, virtually all of the above I mentioned, NAACP, Urban League, Black Card, all that stuff, have publicly declared they are pro-same-sex marriage. And they are lightning being pro-same-sex marriage with the civil rights black folks were denied in the past. Let me say this. The civil rights issues defined in the past were legitimate. Amen. Let me say that again. The civil rights things that affected when I was growing up, amen, they were legitimate. But men marrying men and women marrying women is repugnant to the true and living God, according to many passages in the scripture. When these groups and these people have more influence over us than the presence of God in our lives and what God clearly revealed in his word about these things, to such an extent we begin to agree with this abominable nonsense. It is just like Israel following the rabble and the mixed multitude, in spite of the fact that God was in their midst as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And as we shall see, nothing good ever comes when God's people compromise the word of God and the things of God. When God's people compromise the presence of God in their lives, nothing good ever comes out of it. There may be a temporary gain, but in the end, the fires of God, they always fall. Amen. If Republican or Democrat politics has more influence over us than the presence of God in our lives, and for the most part it does from both sides of the aisle. If Republican or Democrat politics has more influence over us, our thinking, than the presence of God in our lives, when it comes to issues which are directly addressed in the Word of God, we are like Israel, being more influenced by the rabble in spite of the fact that God's visible presence was among them as a pillar of cloud by day and fire by night. When the Word of God addresses specific situations, but we are influenced by either side of the political aisle to go contrary to what God has revealed in his word, and they're doing it. Now let me share something with you, and I don't think he'll mind. If you notice, more and more Republicans are now coming out just a few at a time and saying, I'm down with same-sex marriage. Now, let me say something. When this whole thing, when President Obama first made his speech that he was down with gay marriage, sometimes last, I think it was before election season, I think the day after he made the proclamation, I was in Columbus at my nephew's graduation from law school. And I sat down and I had a long conversation with Sister Robin's brother, Flew. And he looked at me and said, Pastor Kendall, it's a done deal. I said, what are you talking about? He said, this whole gay marriage thing, it's a done deal. He said, we got word from Republican headquarters. This is the plan. The Democrats will push it, and our response is we will say nothing. And he looked at me and said, it's a done deal. And he said, all the Republicans that are against gay marriage, their names are being put on the list, that you ain't one of the down with the programs ones. And he said, Pastor Ken, I looked and got on the list and my name was number one. Amen. It's a done deal. So I'm asking you as a Christian, as a child of God, you know what the Bible says about all this stuff. What are you going to say? The Holy Spirit is within you. You got the word of God. And deep down inside, you know what's right and you know what's wrong. Amen. Who's going to influence your thinking more? The world or God? When you let the world influence you more than God, nothing good can ever come out of that for you. Amen. There may be a temporary gain, but I want to let you know God always settles the score at the end of the day. Amen. He settled it with Israel. We'll see in 2 weeks and now God had to kill a bunch of more. I know that doesn't sound right. That's not good grammar. God had to kill a bunch of more. But he did. Number two, and I'm almost done today. The other way you can know whether you're out of fellowship with God or an immature believer is if one begins to long for the sin that God delivered you from when you were in the world. And I say this because God had delivered the people of Israel from the slavery of Egypt and everything associated with it, including the fish, the cucumbers, the melons, the onions, the leeks, the garlic, and the garlic. Let me explain something to you. This was slave food. Can I get this? Can I talk about this? This was slave food. The reason why God delivers them from Egypt and takes all of that away from them. God says, I have delivered you and I don't want you to partake of slave food anymore. That's when I get to the wilderness. They don't have all that stuff there because God says, I'm removing you from slavery and everything associated with it. They get out to the wilderness. There ain't no free fish and all this other kind of stuff. And God says, instead, I'm going to give you bread from heaven. Manna. I don't want you going back into slavery. I don't want you eating slave fish anymore. I don't want you eating slave cucumbers anymore. They get delivered and they begin to long for what God delivered them from. They were out of fellowship with God. The same is true for all of us. When you begin to long for what you used to do in the world, you are out of fellowship with God. When you begin longing for what you used to experience when you were in bondage to sin, in slavery to sin, you are not in fellowship with God, or you're just immature in your faith and walk with the Lord. And as we shall see in about 2 weeks, nothing good can come about when a believer longs for the sin from which God delivered them. And I'm letting you know today, when your mind starts to go back to the day, not from the standpoint, I'm so glad God delivered me from that. But from the standpoint, wasn't those good times? All that mess didn't do nothing for you back then, amen. Yeah, you was walking in the rain with the one you love, amen. And got in trouble, amen. And all of this stuff. Going back. About to bust them stitches. Them skin tight britches. Running folks in the ditches. Amen. Sugarfoot, leaning afro, and all this other kind of stuff. What's love got to do with it? Oh! What's love but a second hand? See, when your mind goes back there, not from the perspective, I'm so glad God delivered me from that. But when your mind starts to go back to, boy, weren't there some good days? Somehow you've forgotten. You got in trouble in those good days. Amen. See, I'm just telling the truth. Let me move on. Amen. When your mind, when you start to long for what God delivered you from, I'm trying to tell you, you are in trouble. And it is time for you to seek fellowship with your God as you never have in your life.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
Because you're about to get in serious trouble. And then last is this. Verse 6. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. And I'll just stop. I'll just read that verse. But now our appetite is gone. There is nothing at all to look at except this manna. The chosen people of God, Israel, the Hebrews, they let the rabble from Egypt influence them to long for what Egypt had to offer them when they were in slavery. But say of the manna God had given them, our appetite is gone. There is nothing to look at except this manna. Remember, this manna had and was being given to them by God every day. Exodus 16 and 4 says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Ain't that us? God says, I will give you bread from heaven. No, I want some carp from Egypt. Amen. I will rain bread from... No, I want some sheep heads out the Nile River. For those of you who don't know, those are fish you don't want to eat. Amen. Because you'll glow in the dark. Amen. And other things will happen to you. Amen. God says, I'm going to rain bread from heaven every day. And God goes on to tell Moses, Exodus 16 and 4, and the people shall gather a day's portion every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my instruction. So this is bread God gave them every day. When Israel said, there is nothing at all to look at except this manna, Israel was saying, we are not content with what God has given to us. What they are saying is that we no longer have an appetite for what God has given to us. What they are saying is that we are tired of looking at this manna God has given to us. We are tired of eating what God has given to us. And thus we want what pagan Egypt has to offer us. Fish, cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. They no longer had an appetite for what God had given to them, but somehow they thought they would be content and satisfied with what Egypt had to offer. Let me say it again. They no longer had an appetite for what God had given to them, and somehow they thought they would be content and satisfied with what Egypt had to offer them. I will end this sermon by asking the following questions. That is this. Answer them, if you would, If you are not satisfied with what God has given to you, do you really believe you will be satisfied with what God has not given to you? If you are not satisfied with being in the will of God, do you really believe you will be satisfied by being out of the will of God? If you have become discontent with being obedient to the word of God, do you really believe you will find contentment in being disobedient to the word of God?
Teach us.
I'm tired of obeying these commandments. Do you really think it'll be better off if you disobey them? If you are no longer satisfied with being content with the things of God, do you really believe you will be content with the things that are not of God? If you no longer have an appetite for doing things God's way, do you really think you will be content doing things some other way than God's way? If you are not content with where God has you in life right now, let me read that one again. If you are not content with where God has you in your life right now, do you really believe you will experience lasting contentment being where God does not want you to be? Do I need to read that one again? Amen. If you are no longer content to fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, do you really believe you will be content fellowshipping with those who are of the world or they are under the influence of the god of this world, Satan? If you're sick of us, do you really think you're going to be happy with the folks from the bar?
Teach us. It's a
slip word. I'm tired of being around them Christians. Sick of my parents' house. All they do is talk about Jesus. Reading the Bible. Playing gospel radio. I'm tired of that. All they ever live, J. Vernon McGee. I'm tired of that. You really think you'll be better off down at the dope house? You really think you'd be more content hanging around folks that are infested with syphilis, gonorrhea, chlamydia, HIV, amen. They didn't wolf down a half a bottle or something and you in the car with them and they driving, amen. They're high on weed and then snorted and then smoked and you in the back seat and they driving. You really think you're safer there than at home where people love you and where people are buttering your bread, amen. And they're buying the shoes on your feet, amen. The food is in your belly, they brought it, and they're trying to bring you up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, and they're praying for you, and they want you to make it in life, and they're bending over backwards trying to make ends meet to send you to college and all of this and that so you can be better off than they are. You really think it's better out there than here in the presence of the people of God? If you're in your right mind, all of these questions should be rhetorical and they must be answered by saying. The only place I would be content is with the things God has given to me. The only way I will be content is being where God wants me to be. The only way I'll be content is by doing things the way God has commanded they be done, the way they are revealed in the Word of God. I would apply this to myself and I'm going to sit down. In spite of the ups and downs of ministry and the trials and tests of the pastoral office, which for the most part are brought on by myself. I'm being honest. Most of the mess I go through as a pastor is me. I'm the one messed up. Amen. It's not God. Amen. God didn't make no mistakes, so it's me. Amen. In spite of all of that, deep down inside, I know this is what God has called me to do. Deep down inside, I know the spiritual gifts I exercise every Sunday morning in this pulpit have been given to me by God. I love to study the Word of God. I can spend 4 hours studying one Greek word. For I know it is 4 a.m. Deep down inside, I know I love it. I'm like Patton over a battlefield. Oh God, how I love it. Amen. I love to preach and teach the Word of God. I could not wait to preach this message this morning.
The message by Dr. Kinlow today gives you a lot to think about concerning your walk with the Lord. It may also give you something to confess and repent of. If that is the case, take this time to pray and do just that. Thank you for taking the time to listen to Understanding the Scriptures with Dr. David Kinlow, Senior Pastor of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio. Join us tomorrow as he continues teaching the Word of God. Understanding the Scriptures is a broadcast of Word of God Community Church in Canton, Ohio.